Well, welcome, welcome, welcome back to another episode of Coop's Hot Corner. I'm your buddy Coop, hosting Coop's Hot Corner, presented by Dadbot Sports. Today, I have my special guest and fellow co-host of Dadbot Sports, T-Mob. Strip, thanks for being here, bud.
What's up, everybody? Thanks for having me, Coop. I appreciate it. This is something I've been wanting to talk to you about for a while, so I'm excited.
Well, if you couldn't guess, we're going to be talking about the Yankees today. Real quick, since we've been talking about free agency, Jordan Montgomery went to the Diamondbacks. Cool. One-year contract, because that is the Scott Boras way. So they're going to be free agents again at the end of the year. J.D. Martinez going to the Mets. He's doing a 10-day stint down on the minors until he's called up, just trying to get the bat work in. So, but that's where we are with the free agency. But we got Tripp here. We got a Yankee fan.
That's right.
We talked about the American League favorites for the World Series last week with the Houston Astros, so I wanted to bring Tripp on because I think he has a couple of things he wants to bring about, get his voice heard with that. So, Tripp, tell me how you feel about the Yankee season going in. They're at, since you're the gambling guy, they're at 90.5 odds to win, 90.5 over-under wins this year.
Is their win total. Right. 90.5 is their win total.
Trying to find a way to phrase that, but
I got you, man. I got you.
Words are hard.
No, I get it. We talked about it and I saw it was set at 90.5. I took the over on that. Again, it could be my fandom talking, but I think going into the season, I took that before Garrett Cole was hurt, so that kind of hurts a little bit, but that's okay. I'm still going to take it. Bringing in Juan Soto was huge. That was, obviously probably the second biggest pickup in MLB behind Shohei, I would say. Soto, I would say that was the biggest trade of the offseason. There was a few other minor moves, but Soto coming over from San Diego, along with Trent Grisham, who is, he's a gold glove outfielder. So solid pickup there. Sent a lot of prospects over, especially Michael King was probably the biggest one. Some other young guys, but that one sucked. I hated losing him. But overall, I'm very happy. I love Soto in the lineup. Hopefully we can bring him back and sign him to a long-term contract after this season. But, 90 and a half, I think that's a good number. I'll take the over on that, though.
Okay, do you have a definite number that you like to pick?
So, if I'm going, I'll go 101. Let's go 101 wins.
Wow, okay. You're saying it's going to be well over.
Yeah, I'm going to take at least 10 wins over, so I'll go 101.
I could say I love your roster. I'm looking at it right now, and if you don't mind, just bear with me. I'm going to read it off real quick. You could tell me better if this is the actual batting order or not, but I'm just going to rattle off the names. You got Gleyber Torres, you got Juan Soto, Aaron Judge, Anthony Rizzo, who I absolutely love. Giancarlo Stanton, he's just a great guy. Giancarlo Stanton, Alex Verdugo, Stanton we will want to talk about here in a little bit. Jose Trevino, John Birdie, another name we would need to talk about, and Anthony Volpe.
Yeah, so Birdie is not, again, we're two games, starting our third game now. Yanks are playing Houston, and they're 2-0 right now, by the way. So that's huge, because that right there to Houston. But I'm still trying to keep it a little PG for you. I don't want to, say the word, but if you're watching, you know.
Audio, you're fine. So if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, you're great. If you're on Spotify, whatever.
Yeah. But Birdie, we did pick up in a trade literally the day before the season started. He is a utility guy. He plays third, second, short. I think he can play everywhere on the field. I don't know about outfield, but he probably could from what I'm seeing. But he's mainly a third baseman. Right-hand bat, which is good, and speedster. So I did like that pickup. Another pickup other than the Soto and Grisham, which we already talked about. Alex Verdugo, coming from Boston. I love the pickup of Doogie. we got him right before Soto, and I assumed he was going to be part of the trade to bring Soto in, and that didn't happen. So we kept him, and I always liked Alex Verdugo, so seeing him play always? Now. So I did.
Always?
There are certain players that I don't like the team they play for, but I like that. Just like Pedro and David Ortiz. Never liked their team, but always respected them as players. Now, you know, Manny, screw that guy. But no, but there are certain players I might like them. It might not play for a team I like, but I always like those guys.
How'd you feel about?
I was happy with that.
How'd you feel about Johnny Damon before he came over?
I did not like Johnny. I did not like Johnny. He broke my heart. He broke my heart.
When he had to shave. He broke my heart when he came to y'all.
No, man, he broke my heart when he hit the Grand Slam and the Red Sox team back and won. That absolutely just gutted me. So I was never a big fan of Johnny till he wore pinstripes. Then, yeah, you know, I was good with that. But
well, to go back over this list, obviously Juan Soto, Aaron Judge, those are two heavy, heavy bats that you got there. I mean, you can't deny that is strength at its finest right there. Those are two names. Either name come up in the bottle of the knife and you need to run. Those are the names I want up. Now with Anthony Rizzo, again, I love him, but I think he's kind of past his prime at this point. How do you feel about him?
Excuse me. So Rizzo, I love him. I do. I love him when he was a Cubby. You know, he's just one of those guys. He was fun to watch. He made the game fun. Him and Freddie Freeman, if anybody's seen that video where he's running him down and yells Frederick and tags him out, and they both start laughing. Yeah, they start laughing. He was brought into a game one time to pitch, and I mean, he's just what I love about Rizzo, he looks like somebody who's just having fun. And I appreciate a player who just goes out there and has a good time. Yes, it is a job. Yes, they're making very good money. Some of them, he's one of them, but he just looks like he enjoys the game. And so any player like that, I always will gravitate to and just like him. Have his numbers been what I would hope for? No. Is he a little past his prime? Yeah, I think so. But I think he's a good, clubhouse guy. I think him and Judge are actually very close. He's one of the reasons Judge came back. When he was a free agent, or when he was going to free agency, Rizzo actually sent him a text about, you know, their dogs were best friends. He's like, what is my dog going to do without your dog? And sent him a picture and stuff like that. So, but I think he's a good locker room guy. I'd like to see him get some numbers up there. If he could hit 280 with, let's say, 30 home runs, I'll even go 25 home runs.
Okay. I was going to say
25 home runs.
30 is a little steep, but
280 at 25 home runs and a decent glove out there in the outfield or in at first base. I'll take that. I'll take that all day. Say 140 games. So I think that would be, I think that's a realistic goal and something he could do at his age now.
Okay. Now we talked about this off air. Next name I got up here is Giancarlo Stanton. Got it.
Giancarlo Stanton.
Giancarlo. Oh boy. Now, he was fantastic when he was with Miami, and he's kind of hits the snags there in New York.
Yeah, so he was one of the guys we brought over in a trade when Derek Jeter, greatest of all time, was running the Marlins organization. Did I say that out loud? Sorry. So everybody was like, oh, it's insider trading, you know, whatever. But overall, I see what Jeter did. He was, you know, obviously the Marlins paid a lot of money for him, and he was trying to get from under that contract. Went to the Yankees. Giancarlo had, you know, a couple decent years, but overall hasn't been great. And here, last couple of years, man, he can't stay on the field. And that's his biggest problem right now is the injuries. There was a big to-do before the season started with our general manager, Brian Cashman, bringing it up that, you know, he needs to stay on the field. And then Giancarlo got his feelings hurt. And his agent was like, this is why I'll never have another player go to the Yankees. And whatnot, and it's a whole thing. But overall, Giancarlo has got to stay on the field. Numbers-wise, I don't even want to put numbers out there because I would just... Here's the number I want to see. 110 games.
Okay.
That's the number I'd like. Stop. 100 games. 100 games. As a DH. 100 games. Dude, that's not asking a lot.
As a DH, nonetheless.
As a DH.
So, like, I can understand if he was still in the field, but as a DH, that's a realistic number that you should be able to hit.
Yeah. So, but numbers-wise, yeah, I don't even want to get into average and because I don't even think he hit his freaking weight last year. So...
Here's the thing is, I think he's still one of the most pure hitters there are. He just, like you said, needs to stay on the field. He needs to get into a rhythm. Now, this is a game, that's what we love about baseball. There's highs and lows. There's, you know, some days where you're hitting, you know, 10-game hitting streaks, and some days you couldn't hit a beach ball with a tennis racket. That's how this game goes. But he needs to stay in the game to find his rhythm. I totally agree with you. Absolutely. So next on this list, we had, you know, Verdugo, Trevino, Birdie. I think we talked about him a little bit. I just want to give my take on Birdie. I am so glad he left Miami. He was a Met killer. I think I cheered for two reasons when he left. Was one, I'm not going to have to deal with him again. Two, I think that is a crucial piece for y'all, especially now with DJ LeMahieu on the IL. They said he'll be back sometime in April, but there is a fracture on his foot, so...
I was about to say, he broke his foot. I don't see that happening, especially DJ's getting up there in age, so...
DJ, I looked up today, he's 35 years old. Now, Birdie's no spring chicken, but...
No, but...
He also brings his speed, too.
Yeah, so DJ, if again, betting-wise, I'll take the over on missing time. I think it's going to be past April. That would be my bet. But we do have Birdie. Also, Oswaldo Cabrera. He came up last year for a little while. He's kind of played... He's been one of those guys who's played all different kinds of positions. He's been a left fielder. He has been center field. He's played some shortstop. Now he's playing third base. And he's doing really well with it. So, I'm excited. He's... Again, we're two games in. But first two games... He brought in the game-winning run on game one, and he had four hits on game two. Again, very small sample size, very early in the season. But as a Yankee fan, or any fan of baseball, you got to like what you see to start off with.
Now, he had a dinger in game one, if I remember correctly, didn't he?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. As I say, he scored the go-ahead run.
Okay, so yeah, I didn't know if you meant like by RBI. I was about to say, I remember he hit
I just threw it out there like that. But he did hit a homer. And so, I mean, good start to the season. Again, very early. You still got 160 games left. I'm not going to be the one who's jumping on the, oh, man, he's going to be, you know, MVP. No, let's calm down. But you're right. Right now, he's seeing a beach ball up there. You got to enjoy it while you can, because anybody who's played baseball, like you and I or anybody else, there are times it's a beach ball, there's times it's a golf ball, and you just got to really go out there. And when you're seeing it good, enjoy it, because next week it might be completely different.
Absolutely. So let's jump into, we say how much we love the roster, even the bench. You got, you know, Trent Grissom. You got Austin Wells, the backup catcher, and Jermaine Jones. I think I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Jermaine. I think it's Jermaine. We'll go with that.
Okay.
One of us is right.
Yeah.
But, or both wrong. I mean, who knows?
It's actually pronounced Sean. But
yeah.
But I mean, that's still a good bench piece. But even just that starting lineup is great. But this is really where I feel your season will be determined, and I want to talk about the rotation. As of right now, you have Nestor Cortez, you have Carlos Rendon, you have Marcus Stroman, you have Clark Schmidt, and you got Luis Gil. That's your starting five. I mean, you're missing Garrett Cole. I mean, that is a huge blow.
That's huge. Yeah. Cole, obviously a Cy Young winner. You know, came in, got the big contract, and so far has actually lived up to the contract. Not many people can do that. He's been one who's actually lived up to it. So to lose Garrett Cole for at least 60 days. So he's out at least a couple months because he started the season on the 60-day IL. You know, best case scenario, he's back in 2 to 3 months. Worst case, he missed the whole season. I'm leaning more towards, I think this is a bigger injury than first thought of. And I see him missing most of, if not the whole season.
Oh.
That's huge. Obviously, when you lose your ace, you as a Mets fan know all about losing your ace. It's huge. It really, you know, hurts. Yeah, I'm just saying, you do. It hurts you bad. But I think we got some pieces who can go in there. Nestor Cortez, 2 years ago, all-star in the conference. I think he got some Cy Young votes. That's when he became Nasty Nestor. Phenomenal. Last year, took a step back. Also had some injuries. Brought in Carlos Rondon last year. He did not have a good first season in New York. Hopefully, he has a bounce back. The one I like, and the one that I think is the wild card, is Marcus Stroman. Marcus Stroman, honestly, if you're looking at the bunch, and I'm taking Cole out of it, but out of the five starters right now, I think he has the best stuff out of all five of them. The problem is, he is not very, he's up and down. You know, he's been like that his whole career. But when he's on, man, dude, he's Cy Young caliber when he's on.
It's funny how you say that he's up and down, because I feel like I got to disagree with you. I feel like for Chicago's, and even when his time in for the Mets, he was our consistent guy. Like, he's not going to wow you and dazzle you, but he's got, you know, great fielding skills. I think my biggest gripe with Stroman was all the off-the-field stuff that he used to do. That was my biggest pet peeve with Stroman. Like, he would always get in Twitter wars. But for the field stuff, for playing, I mean, he was a very serviceable starter. And, I mean, he was going to get opening day honors, and he turned it down. So, again, to me, that goes back to the, you know, personality of Stroman. So,
no, I think he's, again, like I said, you and I differ on this. And that's great. I think he's
a very boring podcast if we just agreed on everything.
Yeah, the consistency to me, yeah, I've seen it some, but it's a lot of up and down to me. I've watched him pitch, and yeah, his numbers are consistent, but watching him pitch is where I see the ups and downs. You know, that's just, I'm looking at the eyeball test.
So I got you.
Statistics can say this and that, but I'm watching, you know, watching him pitch one day, it's like, man, he's on, and then watching him pitch the next day, and he's kind of all over the zone. That's what I'm talking about. But when he's on, I think he's got some of the best stuff around. That's what I'm saying. Is when he's on, he's very good. And he's probably the best fielding pitcher we got right now.
He has multiple gold gloves. So
yeah, so you gotta throw that in there as well. The other two, Clark Schmidt, Lewis Gill, both young guys. You just don't know what you're gonna get with that. You know, they both started some games before, but again, they're 4 or 5. So, you know, if you could get 10 wins out of them with a 3.8 to a 4.1 ERA, hey, it is what it is, you know?
I understand. So Gil was the one who got promoted from the bullpen. So you said he has some starts.
I think he had a spot start here or there. He also did a couple, like the long innings, if they're pulling the pitcher early, he's done that before. But again, young guy, never been in the rotation, let's say that.
Fair.
He's been a spot guy, or he's been, you know, a long reliever, never been in the rotation. So it's something brand new to him. So we'll see. And Clark Schmidt's been in the rotation before, but also he's not a consistent guy in the rotation. So I'm hoping this will be the year that he, you know, really steps up. Because I always wanted Clark to be that 4 or 5 guy anyways, whatever we brought him up. So That's where I'm at with the rotation.
Fair enough. I mean, like you said, I mean, you hope Cortez and Rodon have a bounce back year. You hope Stroman is, you know, at least consistent numbers wise, because if he gives you the numbers, that's really at the end of the game, the wins, losses are the only numbers that matter. So
exactly.
With your 4-5, like you said, you hope for the best. They're your 4-5. Your only saving grace is they're also going against a 4-5, and you have a stacked lineup to go against that 4-5.
Yes.
So I think
exactly.
I think you'll be fine so long as you don't play Tampa Bay. I don't know what it is, but like you say best, they have your number.
I hate playing Tampa. You know, looking at the East, I think Baltimore is definitely the team that would, on paper, they're the team that's going to give the Yankees a run for the money for the division. Boston, I just, they're not that tough this year. Again, this is just looking on paper. But our Toronto, I see them middle of the pack. They could possibly get into the wild card. But Tampa is always the one that just, I swear, Tampa has got the Yankees number and has for years. I mean, this is even going back to the Devil Rays days. They would have our number when they'd win 50 games in a season, and 7 of them would be against the Yankees. I mean, it's crazy to me, man. But we shall see. But Tampa, God, they scare me. They always have.
Well, so Tampa actually got in a little bit of a dust-up today with Toronto. One of the Tampa Bay players ran through third, and Tampa Bay, or Toronto's pitcher, Cabrera, held him up. I think it was Cabalanos, I believe his name was. Ran through third. He was tagged out. He was out by a mile. Ran through third. Pitcher caught him. And he was like, man, I don't appreciate that. And then shoved him in the face. So it was actually more physical than the next time I wanted to talk about. And I know you...
I wonder what we're going to talk about
it now. It is the hot take right now. And I know you're going to stir the pot because that's who you are, but...
Well, wait. Before we do that, can I just finish up my little Yankees thing?
Absolutely. I apologize.
Okay, sorry. I just... No, you're good. I just want to say, for betting-wise, I said I think 101 wins. I think Judge is going to go over on his 44.5 home runs. And I'm picking right now, I'm going to pick Braves versus Yankees in the World Series, Yankees in 6.
Now, do you see them playing Houston in the American League Championship?
Probably, yeah. I would say they're probably going to be up there. Houston, Cleveland, and Baltimore would be my 3 that I would say would play the Yankees in the AL for the American League Championship. NL, I'm pretty much chalk on that. I mean, Dodgers and Braves, I think, are the ones. Philly's the one, though. I think Philly's going to be a team that's really going to be hard to beat as well.
That little sleeper team.
And I know you don't like hearing that.
No.
I know you don't like hearing that, but...
Facts are facts. Facts are facts.
Yeah. I could see Philly. Philly would not surprise me if they won the National League. But right now, I'm going to take Yankees over the Braves in 6 games.
Okay. You heard it here first.
Again, this is from a Yankees fan.
Saying with 900-plus odds to win the World Series, go ahead and place that bet.
Do it now.
It's 900.
Take the money.
Okay.
Throw $100 on it, win you 900. Just saying, man.
Fair enough.
It's free money.
So before we continue, I do want to say, Trip, your podcast, obviously we both do Dadbot Sports podcast together. You have your own segment, like I have my Coopside Corners. Yes. Yours is Tripped Up with T-Mop. And it's all things.
And I plan on...
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry.
Take it away.
I plan on putting one out. I plan on doing one probably Monday night. I might do it tomorrow night, but tomorrow being Easter, we got church in the morning, then dinner plans, so might not get to it. But I'm hoping Monday night will be the night I can go ahead and do that. I'm going to probably get into some of WrestleMania, which is coming up. I'm going to talk a little bit about that, talk a little sports gambling, and I got another list coming up, guys. You know, it's just something fun we like to do. And this is going to be the athletes you would like to have a beer with at a bar. Something fun, you know?
I mean, we already talked about Anthony Rizzo, so he's on my list.
And, you know, he could be on the list. You never know.
I want him to be my neighbor. You know?
Yeah, I think he would be a great neighbor.
You know, I think he'd be a fantastic guy.
Absolutely.
Just like, hey, Anthony, how you doing today? Not too bad. Hey, we're going out of town. You mind grabbing my mail? Great neighbor.
Yeah.
You know?
I was cutting the grass. I went ahead and cut your side yard as well. I hope that's okay with you. Yeah, no problem, man.
Great guy. But, so, this is actually longer than any episode I've done, but I love talking baseball with you, and, you know,
I know, man.
This is a subject we have to hit. Opening day for the Mets was pushed back. And they ended up playing the Milwaukee Brewers on a Friday at 1:40. There was a kerfuffle between Jeff McNeil and Rhys Hoskins. So it's all over. Baseballer, the 3-0 take, ESPN, John Boy Media, everyone's talking about it. It's the first time the bench is cleared in the beginning of the season because it's the first game of the season. A day late, but yeah. It was the first dust-up. Now, I could tell you this. Rhys Hoskins will always be Philly trash in my eyes, and I think this is really where it all stems from. That being said, what happened if... Why don't you explain it, what you saw, and I'll explain it the way I saw it.
All right, so as a... As an unbiased opinion.
Impartial.
I'm impartial because there are Mets players I like. There are Philly players I like. Not a big Brewers, but Rhys Hoskins was one of the Philly players I like. And Jeff McNeil is a Mets player I like. So you have two players I really do like. So this is coming from somebody who likes both these guys. So comes in with a slide. I didn't feel like it was a late slide watching the replay. Again, I didn't watch it real time. I wasn't watching it live, let's say. I watched the replay. I watched, you know, a couple breakdowns of the video. So that's where I saw it. Didn't look like a terribly late time. Could have been a little late, maybe, but he didn't go out of the way, out of the base path. He grabbed the bag, so it wasn't one of those illegal slides. It was actually a legal slide. He didn't slide through the bag. You know, he actually hooked it like you're supposed to and stopped. Took out McNeil. McNeil, I think, was in a bad position, and he did drop the ball. So he was worried about, as he got the ball to turn to, he already dropped the ball before he was hit. And he was worried about that, didn't move his legs. He did get his ankle kind of twisted, looked like it got slid over. And I think he was upset about it, understandably. But he got up and started saying, you know, you're the effing, you know, you're one of the reasons why, you know, you're a dirty player, blah, 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 blah. And Hoskins was there taking it. The bench is cleared because that's what happens. Hoskins didn't say too much until he got in the dugout. Then he's in the dugout and he's chirping away and he's doing the wah, wah. Whatever, dude. You guys both, you know, in the heat of the moment, I get it. I think they were both a little soft towards it. Hoskins doing the wah-wah when he's away from him. And McNeil making a big deal. I get you were upset when you got hurt, but, you know, I think you made a bigger deal of it. I do feel like some baseball players now are softer than they have been before. But I feel like that in a lot of sports now. You know, and the bench clearing, man. Dude, I'm so tired of seeing benches clear and nothing happen. Let's get, you know, if we're going to clear the benches, let's freaking go out there and clear the benches. Like, let's get a good scuffle.
Let's do it.
Exactly. Yes. Yes. Let's get a good scuffle going and have it happen. I'm cool with that. Like, almost like hockey, you know, where you let the guys just go at it. Screw it. All right, cool. You guys want to go at it, whatever. I know it's a different sport. It's a different environment, but I am so tired of benches cleared. It's like, oh, the bench is cleared. It's like, okay, what does that even mean anymore? The guys got out. That, you know, I feel what I feel bad for the most is the bullpen guys. You got it. I mean, that's a long freaking run you got to make.
I can tell you, the Mets didn't even run. You know, they just kind of like walked out of the bullpen, like, what's up?
Yeah.
Like, we're just waiting in the wings.
Yeah, if it's one of these.
We're not running all the way on things to pop it off, you know, which I respect.
Yeah, if it's one of the stadiums where it's foul territory bullpen, that's not too bad. But you got these bullpens now that are way in the, you know, way in center field. You got to go down some stairs. You got to go through the gate. Man, that's, dude, if I'm going that far because of a scuffle, I'm getting something going. Like, I'm going to be like, no.
Catching ass.
I just did, you know, 100. I did a 100-yard dash. I'm out of breath now, but we're throwing.
Man,
hands.
I'm bullpen. I ain't a starter. So, I'm not used to this. So
exactly. You know, it's. I feel like they both took it a little too far. Again, McNeil, heated situation. I understand his frustration, but he was definitely, you know, kept pushing it. But Hoskins as well. I think the way he did it at first was great, you know, but then when you get to the dugout, now you're wah, wah, wah. It's like, bro, do that to his face. That's just my opinion on it.
So, to me, the way I saw it, it looked like, and I watched it live because obviously it's opening day for the Mets. Any chance I can watch the Mets, especially opening day, like my wife is like, I need you. I'm like, after. Can you take your trash out after the game? Hey, the kid's crying. Well, he's going to be crying for about 2.5 hours. You know, like opening day, it's a holiday. It is religious day for me. It is like Christmas, Easter, St. Patrick's Day, all wrapped in one. So, like, even we went out for opening day, even though the Mets didn't play. I met up with you for opening day. It's our thing. Opening day is a holiday. So, my opening day, I'm watching the whole game. And I felt the side came in late, watching it live, even... I'm very animated when I watch my Mets, too, especially the Giants. My son will learn how to swear solely from me watching baseball. My daughter probably already has a couple of curse words, too, because she's a crazy one. But I got up when that slide happened. I'm like, oh, went full New Yorker, you know? And hey, my son, what was that? I think it was a lot of culminations of things. Now, if you look closely, and I'm not trying to like deep dive, but his left foot hit McNeil's leg and his right knee took out McNeil's right knee. Now, obviously, like you said, McNeil was on the transfer, but he just feels two legs take out both legs. That's what he feels. That's what he sees. His back is to Reese the entire time this is happening, too. So he can only go by what he feels. And there is some checkered history because Reese is from Philadelphia, and we know. There is not a lot of love between New York and Philadelphia. There is no love lost between those two cities. Everyone knows my stance on Philadelphia. It is not hidden. It is the same way you feel about Boston. Probably I have a little more hatred. I don't know.
So, oh, yeah. Now you
more.
You have more hatred for Philly than I do.
So,
than I do for Boston, yes.
If I go to Philadelphia ever, I probably will be murdered. Like, very good chance. Like, take the over-under, I get murdered. So, so McNeil gets up, and he, like you said, he's in his face, you're dirty, you've always been dirty, screaming at Reese and everything like that. And Reese is like, well, I figured he just wanted to vent, so I just let him vent and everything like that. So then you got up, ran to your dugout, hid behind your players and started doing the wah wah. Buddy, listen, McNeil is my favorite Met, and I love him because he's a scrappy player. He's blue. He's like a clean Lenny Dykstra, I guess you can say, you know? He's gonna slap hit, he's gonna get you your base hit, he's gonna fight for that out. And that's what I love about McNeil. Reese just says in the post game interview, you know, he likes to whine when they're losing. Well, when is another time? Do you whine when you're winning? No, nobody whines when they're winning. You're losing.
Right.
And you were frustrated because of what he felt. So I think McNeil really took it over the top. I think it was, you could have turned around and been like, buddy, like, what are you doing? Come on. Like, said some words as he's running off the field and just let that be the end of it. Like, let him know how you feel.
Right.
And you don't have to miss words. Be like, what the hell are you doing? You know, and I'm trying to keep it clean because I try on this one especially. But it is an emotional topic. But for Reese to go to the dugout and hide behind his teammates and go, wah, and people are like, oh, that's legendary. No, Joe Kelly walking off the field going, to Houston was legendary.
Yes. Because
he was on the field when he was doing it. And he was ready to turn around and put his money where his mouth was. You hiding behind the bench, behind your players, is not legendary to me. So hopefully, again, I'm just sick of talking of this. It's over and done with. We do have to touch on the fact that they threw behind Reese at his third at-bat. At that point, the damage was already done. He had four RBIs. Yeah, he was three for three with four RBIs and a two-run home run. And you hit him in the seventh inning. And you hit him. It was a Noah Syndergaard hit where you threw behind him. You didn't even hit him. So people were just like, oh, that's awesome. You went for him. You are a professional ball player. Hit him. If you're going to hit him, hit him. You know? Or like, I threw behind him. That's cool. So you scared him a little bit. Make him wear one. That's how I feel. The same way that you feel about, you know, the brawls. When people say the bench is clear. The bench is clear. Someone's getting punched. If I'm on the field, someone's getting punched. Exactly. It could be my old teammate. Someone's getting punched.
Because it's so... You'll hear about these things, you know, you'll see a thing come up on your phone. Bench is cleared. Okay, what does that really mean? Half the time, it really means nothing, you know? It's this stuff right here. Let's get to the man. If we're going to clear the benches, let's clear the benches. Let's go out there. I don't need a whole freaking brawl, okay? But I at least need somebody pushing, shoving, punch thrown or something like that. Let's do something.
I agree.
I'm so tired of the benches clearing and everybody's just standing there and like half the team's just joking. They're like, oh man, what are you doing after the game? Hey man, think we got time to hit nine holes afterwards? Dude, just freaking go out there.
I'd be running out and be holding the guy back and be like, I'm not really holding you, dude. Go ahead. I'm holding you back.
Yeah.
Go ahead, man. Yeah. I got your back. It's one of those I'm missing, you know, a batter drop. And sprint to the pitcher, and the first baseman just lay him out. You know, I miss seeing some physicality. I mean, that's when people are like, oh, well, the kids are watching. Okay.
Robin Ventura running at Nolan Ryan.
Oh, man. And I love Robin Ventura. But part of my language, you got your ass handed to you.
He learned quick.
you met
that old man.
You ran into a grown man.
Dude, I love it. Oh, dude, Nolan just stood there like, oh, we doing this? All right.
But to me,
and he's like, I'm not running to you. You're going to come to me, and then I'm too old
to get at you. I'm going to wait right here. Yeah. And I'm going to catch you, and you're going to wear a couple. So, but.
And he sure did.
My thing is with them throwing behind him, hitting him, whatever you want to say, I'm glad that it finally happened because I feel for the longest time, we were welcome mats for teams. You throw at us like they threw Pete Alonso last year in the hand for the throw it again. And people were like, oh, it was an accident.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, it was an accident, but you went after our best player. No rebuttal. That's one thing I can't stand. So no, you talk about the unwritten rules, and I know you have a different opinion. I know your brother is adamantly against the unwritten rules. To me, the unwritten rules is if you go after mine, I'm coming after yours.
100%.
That's an unwritten rule that I absolutely love. Absolutely. If you come in after mine, I'm coming after yours. And the thing that kills me with the Mets is you came after him 2 hours late. The message wasn't sent clearly.
I agree 100%.
So the reliever
should have been his first.
And I mean, to be fair, it was Luis Severino on the mound. He didn't want your starting pitcher to get thrown out of the game immediately. But it was a relief pitcher who threw. They said it was intentional and they threw him out. So, my thing is, why wasn't warnings given in the beginning of the game? I'm going to go full Terry Collins on this. And it just happened to that guy. There were no warnings given. Oh, you got to understand the situation. But you didn't give me a warning. So,
again, it's... I think, again, I agree with you. Time and place, I think that was a terrible time to do it because at this point, he's already beat you. He's already, what'd you say, 4 RBIs? Yeah. He's already got 4 RBIs on you. You know, he's kicked your butt all day long. Now you're going to throw it behind him and be like, it's an accident?
We know.
Come on, man.
And that's the Everybody thing is, when it, he said, when the ball was thrown behind him, he was pointing like, and he points at his butt like, You don't hit me in my head. You hit me on my eye. But he didn't even hit you.
Yeah.
He didn't even hit you. So what are you talking about? I throw where I want to throw.
Yeah.
So, again, I'm ready for this to be over and done with. If this comes up again in the future with the Mets, I hope, you know, we bring in a spot start and be like, hey, man, I know Severino's supposed to start or, you know, any other one of our random pitchers that we have this year. Hey. We're going to actually work out of the bullpen. We're bringing a reliever. He's a AAA, and he's just coming in to throw at this guy real quick. That's it. That's the only reason. Then you're coming in.
That's fine. How I feel. I'm totally fine with that. It's like a goon.
Bring in the goon.
Bring in your goon.
You know what's going to happen. Me, bases loaded, and they're up by 2. I don't care. I'm flunking you. I will cut off my nose to spite my face.
That's a hell of a cut for you.
Yeah. It's a quick story since you brought it up. There's a trend I do with my son now. He's 4, where I'll say, I love you, and he goes, I love you more. And I go, I love you most. And he says, I love you to the moon. And I say, I love you to the moon and back. I love you to the stars. I love you to the stars and back. Well, the other night I said, I love you bigger than the sun. And he looked at me deadpan in his face, and he did it tonight too. And he says, I love you bigger than your nose. Folks, I don't think I have a big nose. I think it's a pretty normal nose. If you didn't think I was staring in the mirror for the next 30 minutes going, I mean, is it swollen? Kids, man, they're ruthless. I have a complex.
Dude, when you told me that I'm lost.
I have a complex about my nose. I'm about to be 35 in like 2 weeks.
When you told me that. Yeah, I thought it was the funniest thing I heard. I thought it was great. I'm like, man, this is awesome.
Oh, Kayla was freaking awesome. My wife was absolutely in tears. She thought it was the funniest thing ever. And I was just like, E2 Brutus? But, kids, man, I'll tell you. But, well, Tripp, I really do appreciate having you on the show, man. We got to do this more often. I'm glad I was able to talk some Yankees with you. Like I said, I know you are my Yankee guru, so I wasn't even going to even try to discuss the ins and outs of the Yankees because I know you could do way better than mine, and this is for the fans, so I want to give them the best content available, and I appreciate you helping us out and giving the content to the people.
Absolutely, man. I do appreciate the invite. Stoked for the season, and again, man, just thanks for letting me come on, and hope that everybody listens to all of our podcasts. If you don't mind, I'm just going to do a quick shout out for mine, Tripped Up with T-Mob. You know, I try to record once a week, once every 2 weeks, throw something out there. Also listen to Rip Sauce Pond Hockey, and of course, keep listening to Coop's Hot Corner.
Well, guys, thank you again for tuning in this week. I will be back again next week. Team to be determined. I'll probably let Tripp decide since he did so good in this last one, and he's called me out for not doing American League team, so I'll let him pick next week. I swear if you say, like, the Kansas City Royals, I'm going to be like, well, I'm going to start research now. But, guys, thank you again so much for tuning in. And make sure, like you said, to listen to Tripped Up with T-Mobs, Rip Sauce Pond Hockey. Obviously, you listen to Coop's Hot Corner. Keep liking, subscribing, following us. And make sure you listen to us on our main page at the Dadbod Sports Podcast. Again, thank you guys so much for tuning in, and we'll talk to you next week. Take care.
Thanks, guys.